Amen. Let's turn in the Word of God this evening to the Old Testament Scriptures and to the Book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. So, if you find the Psalms and go forward, you'll soon come on to the Book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, then the Book of Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. I just want to read you one verse from this chapter. The verse is verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. I want to speak this evening on the subject of the true nature of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a massive subject, and we can only touch on it this evening. But I trust that as we look at the words of our text together, then the words of that hymn we sung earlier will be our experience. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May our perusal of the words of our text tonight lead us to Calvary. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. If you were with us this morning, you may recall that, and I hope you do recall, that we pointed out the scriptures, the books of Moses, and the prophets tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 25 of Luke 24 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and beginning at Moses, that's the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. And I've no doubt that the Lord spoke about some of those great texts that we have in the prophetic scriptures. Like Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's the death of Christ, the iniquity of us all. I've no doubt that text after glorious text from the Psalms, and from the prophetic scriptures, and from the books of Moses, were opened up unto that couple as they walked their way to Emmaus. It may well be that the Lord made reference to the words of our text tonight. Initially, the words of Lamentations 1 and verse 12 refer to the desolation and the sufferings of the Jewish people, particularly in the city of Jerusalem. And in this text, Jerusalem is likened unto a widow, bereft of her husband, bereft of her children, and none at all to comfort her. If you look at the opening verse, it says this, Lamentations 1 and verse 1. Hard doth the city sit solitary. She that was full of people, hard is she become as a widow. She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, her is she become tributary. And if you know anything about your history, there's never a city on the face of this earth that went through the wars, the battles, the sufferings like Jerusalem has. You've even just got to look at our news today. And very, very regularly, there's some attempt, some endeavor to destroy the Jews, and in particular, to overrun and overcome the city of Jerusalem. It has always been that way. We think of the Second World War and how more than 6 million Jews were gassed. We think of 1967 and all the Arab nations around Israel. Israel, just a wee slither of land on the coasts of the Mediterranean. My, they thought with their combined strength and power, the Arabs would run them into the sea and destroy them. They didn't do it. But there have been many occasions, many, many occasions, when the Jews have endured great suffering. The reference in our text is a reference to the devastation of Jerusalem and the destruction of its temple carried out by the Babylonians around 600 years or so before Christ came into this world. And so we see the city is likened then to a widow. Nobody cares. Nobody has any feeling. She sits solitary. And it is as if she's crying out to all those around her, is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now, going from the initial meaning of the verse, we can apply these words to the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't we tell you? Doesn't the Lord himself say that Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they tell us things concerning himself. What words there are here in our text for tonight concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tradition tells us that Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. Tradition tells us that Jeremiah often resorted to a little cave on a mount to the north of Jerusalem. And it's in the vicinity where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And tradition tells us that that was called Jeremiah's grotto. And he often repaired to that recess in the hill and looked over the city of Jerusalem, even as the Lord did in later years. And he wept, and he cried, and he shed tears over the idolatry of people in Jerusalem and its eventual laying of waste and destruction by the Babylonians. Now, if that tradition is true, how significant it is, whether it's true or not, the words we have before us are very aptly applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind, and I want you to notice in the first instance from our text the unparalleled sufferings. The unparalleled sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the words, "Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me." You have two simple things here in relation to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an invitation. The word "behold" in the scriptures means look at this. Stop and look at this. You may remember in the New Testament times, a man by the name of John the Baptist was raised up. And through his ministry, through his preaching, the nation was stirred and crowds gathered to hear him. And as he was preaching to the assembled multitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to join them. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And what John was saying is, look at him. Behold him. Stop and have a look at him. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one that you read of in your scriptures. In fact, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and tie his shoe. Here he is. Look to him. Behold the Lamb. And that's exactly what this text invites us to do tonight. To look at Christ. Behold and see. And then there's not only this invitation, there is the consideration. What is it that we're to think about? What is it we are to look at? What is it that we are to consider? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Some of you, no doubt, have seen pictures portraying the Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. You may have even seen a film. But folks, it was nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing like the reality. Lest I forget, Gethsemane. After they had celebrated the Passover, the day before his crucifixion in the upper room, the Lord with the disciples and some others repaired to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what a battle, what a fight, what a struggle took place in the garden at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's public ministry. 3 years or so prior to this, he had a battle in a desert. He had a fight in the desert. And he came out of those temptations victorious. But here in Gethsemane, on the verge of going to Calvary, what strain, what pressure, what a battle raged within the garden for 3 hours or so as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. And I have no doubt but that all the forces of hell sought to turn Christ back from the cross. And such was the pressure, and such was the suffering, that we're told in the Bible he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And you can picture the Lord Jesus Christ after 3 hours or so of struggle. You can picture the Lord Jesus Christ after that battle in Gethsemane, utterly drained, physically speaking. But then Judas comes. Judas the traitor comes with the soldiers of the high priest. They take the Lord from Gethsemane. They bring him across what's called the Kidron Valley into the palace or the house of the high priest. And there he is tortured for hours. He is beaten with sticks. The hairs pulled from his face. He's spat upon. He's blindfolded and beaten and mocked. If you're a prophet, tell us who it was that smote thee. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ that night in the high priest's palace was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that his visage, his face, was marred more than any of the sons of men. The Lord Jesus Christ was cast into prison that night, imprisoned in a deep dungeon that was there in that house. He's hauled out of it early in the morning. He's brought before Pilate, the Roman governor, who was present in Jerusalem at that time of celebration. And when Pilate understands he's a Galilean, then he sends him to Herod. Wicked Herod. Cruel Herod, a man who would kill his own family to ensure that he stayed upon the throne. And Herod and his men, we are told, set Christ at naught. They mocked him. They beat him. And they send him back to Pilate. And they said, "We don't see anything wrong. Here he is, back again." And Pilate, being weak as he was, hypocritically washes his hands of Christ and puts him in charge of his soldiers. The Roman soldiers knew how to make it hard for people. The Roman soldiers were violent, uncompromisingly violent. And to them, this was just another criminal. The Bible tells us he was numbered with the transgressors. And they whip him. They flog him. Till his back looked almost like a furrowed field. They beat him, and then they press upon him a crown of sharp inch-long thorns, mocking his claim to be the king of the Jews. They cause him to carry a very heavy trunk of a tree through the narrow streets of Jerusalem. And if you were to see that sight, you would shudder. You would shudder. They take a colored individual because he was despised like other people would be despised by those people. And they make him to help Christ to carry the cross. They come to the place called Calvary. And they lay the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. Now, whether it was a T cross, or whether it was just a straight up and down trunk of a tree, doesn't matter. They take one hand and put another upon it, and hammer a nail through both hands. They do the same with his feet. They knew how to torture people. And what an excruciatingly painful, agonizing death crucifixion was. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the main road out of the north of Jerusalem that led to Damascus. It was a busy part of the city where people came in and out of it. And when the Romans crucified people, they chose prominent parts of the city. And it was like the Romans, they did it all over the Roman Empire. It was like the Romans were saying, you step out of line and this is what will happen to you. And that day, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified with one on the right hand and the other on the left. And if you had seen that sight, if you had beheld the crucifixion, it would have sent shivers down your spine, barely recognizable as a human being. He hangs upon the cross. Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. The unparalleled sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, in the second place, the unremitted wrath of Almighty God. Just a few weeks ago, we witnessed the sun being hid by the moon. The sun being eclipsed. It just got dark and dull where we are, for there was lots of clouds. In some parts where the sky was clear and the sun was shining, it got eerily dark. And the Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, from the sixth hour, that's midday, to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the earth. And the hymn writer puts it this way, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. When Christ the great creator died for man, the creature's sin. And folks, look at our text. Look at what it says in the text. Behold and see if there be any sorrow which is like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Listen to these words. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And what Jeremiah is saying here about Jerusalem, the judgment of God fell upon it for its sin and apostasy. That's what brought it sorrow. That's what made it to be solitary and like a widow. But when we apply these words to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the real nature of the sufferings of Christ. We have considered something of the sufferings of Christ inflicted upon him by man. But when those dark hours, when he hung on the cross, there were sufferings inflicted upon the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me. Notice these words, in the day of his fierce anger. And we can look at Calvary and we can say that was the day of God's fierce anger. A great truth in the Bible is this. Absolutely every sin, from the very first sin that was committed in this world when Adam disobeyed the Lord in the Garden of Eden, till the very last sin that the last person that will ever be in this world, every single sin, without exception, is judged by God. Every sin. There's not a sin ever by anyone, anywhere, whoever they are, goes unpunished. And God judges sin either in the sinner himself by sending him to hell, or by the substitute who died on the cross. And man, the great truth of the gospel is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, every, absolutely every sin of all of God's people from all time, past, present and future, all their sins, all the judgment for every one of their sins was laid on Christ. Sufferings that we can't even begin to imagine. Sufferings that he endured that we can never really grasp. None of the ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. I spoke briefly this morning to the men in McGilligan on this text, and I said to them in words that they would understand, the Lord Jesus Christ took the wrath for you. If someone had come to you at the beginning of your sentence and said, I'll take the rap, I'll serve the time, I'll go in your place, you would have rejoiced at that. And who wouldn't? Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. The wrath of a sin-hating God with me can have nothing to do. The Savior's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. What a great Savior. What a great Savior. And listen, folks, nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody But a divine person could do that. Even if you could have found a man on the earth who had never sinned, he couldn't do that. He couldn't bear the weight of guilt and sin of others. He couldn't do it. He would be utterly, utterly, utterly crushed. It took the lion of the tribe of Judah. It took the God man. It took a divine person. It took the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. The unparalleled sufferings of Christ, the unremitted wrath of God, and then finally and lastly, look at the unconcern of sinners. Look at the opening words of the text. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Some years ago, I noticed a picture in the Daily Mail. And it was a picture of a corpse of a dead infant lying in the gutter on a street in the city of in the land of China. And you will know that in China there's the one child policy. You're not allowed to have any more than one child. And someone has had that little child and thrown it out. And the picture showed you it lying there in the gutter. And people in the early morning rush just walking by, heading on to work. I suppose they didn't want to be seen doing anything to the infant. They would have been afraid of the authorities. They didn't want to be identified with that little infant. They just walked on by, unconcerned. It was nothing to them. You think that's shocking, and it is. But even more shocking is that people walk on by Christ. Is it nothing to you? What Jesus suffered for you on the cross? Can you go home tonight and lay your head on your pillow and sleep easy, having bypassed Christ? Does it not concern you that God Almighty in the person of His Son came into this world to live and labor amongst men and to die on the cross and die such a terrible death and a death that we can't even begin to imagine, as He suffered in those dark hours, as He suffered the pangs of hell? Does that not concern you? Do you just go glibly on without reference to Christ and what He did for you on the cross? Is it nothing to you? Take that home with you tonight. Can you remain indifferent? Can you remain unconcerned? Can you remain in your sin, having heard that Christ has endured such sufferings on your behalf? Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. God, on the basis of Christ's redemptive work on the cross, will pardon if you repent. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll not have a closing hymn. Let me encourage you to come to Christ tonight. It wasn't just an historical incident. It was much, much more than that. Was it for me? For me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. It was for me. It was for you. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy word. Write it indelibly upon our hearts tonight. Spirit of God, strive in the hearts of those who are not yet saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.